What's up? Welcome to the live stream here on this beautiful, you can't see me, huh? Let's change the camera or adjust the camera. Welcome to the live stream. There you go. All right. Between season tips. If you find yourself in between jobs, relationships, between life stages, from a relationship that you really loved to being single, or maybe you're single and you're just getting into a new relationship, usually that's like a positive thing. But if anything, if there is a change in your life, you're going from one season to another, one stage to another, one chapter to another, and you're struggling to make sense of it as you wait for things, then this stream is for you. Make sure you share. Make sure that you like, comment, subscribe to my stream. Let me check my audio here. Make sure that you guys can hear me just fine with my handy dandy notebook. Welcome on Instagram to all my followers. Welcome on YouTube, which is my favorite platform. Welcome on the Facebooks, the Twitters, the LinkedIns. Yep, everything sounds great. Okay, great. So yeah, welcome to all of my people. I'm here wearing my PJ pants. It is snowing in Bend, Oregon, where our family lives. It is literally, let's see, it's 34 degrees. I guess it stopped snowing. It'll snow again. It's at 7. But I think there were, I don't know, a foot of snow earlier today. So that was awesome. So big shout out to my sister-in-law and my brother-in-law out there in Bend, Oregon. Here, it's a beautiful 60, in Long Beach, California, 61 degrees. Managua, Nicaragua, donde me enamoré, 81 degrees. UCSB, where my beautiful son goes to school, it's 55. Colorado, where I live, we lived for many years. Shout out to Colorado, 53. I work in Costa Mesa, it's 58. And it's supposed to rain tomorrow. How about that? And then supposed to be sunny the rest of the week here in the Southern California area. Welcome back. So when you go from season A to B, there are at least, well, let me start with this. There are four seasons in life. There is adolescence, or I mean, you could say there is birth, and you could call that childhood or innocence. Then there's your strength or your adult, youthful adult season. And there's midlife. And then there is the, I guess you could say the older stage. So you have four seasons in life, right? Like the Four Seasons Hotel. Like Four Seasons, winter, spring, summer, and fall. What else goes in fours? I'm not sure. Four burgers, four friends, five friends. That's five, I guess. Four square. So when you go from childhood to adolescence, that's a big deal. Because you're going from a time where you're learning, you're being led pretty strongly by your family, your parents. Now, a lot of things can go wrong in childhood. Not everyone has. I know I had a really good childhood, but it had some challenges right around my preteen years, 11, 12. So childhood isn't always like the most innocent stage. Definitely is the age of innocence. And I read this one book called The Happiness Curve, and during that season of childhood, so if you have a child, if you have grandkids, if you have a younger sibling, if you babysit, that season is very magical because God is in the boat. So back to this book, The Happiness Curve talks about four seasons. And each one's represented by a picture, an image, or a painting of this person that's in a boat going through a river. And this angel represents God is always in the picture, but it changes. And the colors of each scene change as the seasons go by. So the first one, there's a baby in the boat, and he's happy, just happy as can be. Still waters, very beautiful colors, gold and pink and blues and yellows. The water's very still. And the angel of the Lord is right in the boat, right behind the young baby. No, actually, he's in the front or in the back. I think he's in the back, actually, but in the boat. And he's larger than life. So the idea is that when you're in that season, you are innocent, right? You are being led by God, by goodness, which we could say, which we could call that our parents. We could call that the protection of our life, of our parents, mom and dad, of school, of being in awe of everything. Your first, going on your first bike ride, learning how to make your own bed. Maybe you have your own room or you share a room. Your backpack, you learn how to read and write. You begin to maybe get a sense of who you are in terms of skills and talents, who you're not, kind of where you fit in life. In school, obviously, school is a big part of your life, as is home and friends. Now, of course, social media kind of changes, has changed everything. That's the first season. God is there. Now, it's not that there are any problems, as I said. It's not perfect. It's supposed to be perfect, but not always. You may have had times, like I did, and many young people have, or many people have, where in your childhood, when you went through challenging times in your childhood, and maybe you haven't dealt with those, you haven't thought about them, or maybe you didn't go through anything, or maybe you have kind of stuffed those memories for many reasons. But that stuff still lingers and is there and it shows up eventually. That's what I've learned. So you go from that to adolescence. Adolescence is a very, or youthfulness or strength is a very powerful season of life. And that's where the boat is now kind of halfway down the river. There are some detours where there's a lot of dangerous rocks to your left, to your right. But the young man is no longer sitting down. Now he is full of muscles, and this could be, of course, women or men. Muscular, strong in his power, and he's got an oar, and he's digging into the water, and he's pushing that boat up the river because in the distance he sees this beautiful white castle. And he is doing everything he can in his power to reach that castle. Now, the angel of the Lord is in the picture, but he's not in the boat. He's not even in the river. He's actually on the shore. So you could say that the young man has left God out of the picture. God's still there. God still is looking over that young man or woman. But the young man is focused. And that's a very powerful stage. My wife and I have three kids, they're not kids, but young adults in that season. It's a very laborious season where they're striving to find their purpose, to reach that mountaintop, to reach that castle with all the riches and all the glory and stability and relationship and love and marriage and family and business and money and home and purpose and that dream job or that dream car, apartment, your first house. All these things that you're striving for, and you have the strength, and you're in the boat, and there aren't a lot of problems, but there are a few distractions, and you have to be aware that you don't go down the wrong path as you reach the castle. And you have to be aware that you don't let God too far from your sight, that you don't let him completely disappear, that you at least keep him within view. Because he's not in the boat. You've pushed him out. Or maybe God feels like he's no longer in the boat. Perhaps you are going through a time where you no longer believe. You've left the faith of your youth. You've left the beliefs of your parents. You've left the church where you grew up. You're not into that stuff anymore. You're now into spirituality, not religion. You're now into crystals and the universe and manifestation and into Buddhism or into New Age or into, you're a Muslim now. You're now, you're into the red pill. You're a Trump guy. You're going to be more of a, your own man. You don't need any crutches from God and your parents' church and religion. Plus, the church sucks. It's a bunch of liars and hypocrites. And so you go through that, and you have to be very aware that as you strive towards the castle, that you don't completely remove yourself from God, even though it's an easy time to remove God. The prodigal son was probably in that season, in that second stage of strength or adolescence, where he took his money, his father's money, half of it, and went and lived it up. It looked good until he wasted it all, stopped working or didn't even work, and all his friends left him because he was broke. He went and got some horrible job at some horrible place with some horrible animals and the pigs. And he was so depressed and lost. And all that gusto was gone because he was hungry, naked, poor, alone. Nobody loved him anymore. Nobody cared. And he had left God out, meaning the Father. But then he remembered his Father's love and he returned back home. The third season, so again, you might be going from 1 to 2, 2 to 3, 3 to 4. The third season is what's called midlife. So that's your parents' age, if you're a young person, my age, 40s, 50s. And this is the worst of the four seasons, ironically. This is a study made over, I think, like 20 years worldwide, millions of people, studying their happiness. And I don't mean happiness like I have everything I want, but like just wellness, physical, spiritual, psychological, physical, material, love, relation, everything, spiritual. So we're not talking like the joy of the Lord, okay? Because you could say, well, I'm happy no matter what. Well, let's be more honest than that, right? We go through ups and downs. Even with God, because remember that these four images, they all have God in them. It's just kind of where God seems to be or not be in the picture and how we push God in or out or whatever. So anyway, the third season, midlife is the worst. So the image is no longer bright and castles and bright colors. Now it's all demons and darkness. The man is still full of strength, but now he has a grayer beard. It's graying. His shirt is off, but he's no longer pushing the water. Now he's on his knees, pleading to God, who he can't find. He's in anguish because all he sees above him are dark clouds and stormy weather. There are rocks everywhere that he's having to navigate, and his boat is barely hanging on. God is in the picture, but he's a very small angel way in the back. He's there, but it's a very dim light. The angel is way back there as a mosquito. Barely noticeable. All you can see is demons, darkness, this man on his knees pleading for his life, saying, please, God, help me. Where are you? But in the distance, way in the distance, he can hardly see it, but if he looks hard enough, he can see some still waters just over the mountain there. And in this season, if you are in that season, like my wife and I are, or maybe you're past that season, or maybe again your parents, or you have a friend, or your kids, if you're older, if you're a younger person, yeah, your parents maybe, or your grandparents. This is, as I said, one of the toughest. Now, what happens, even though it is the toughest, I've never heard of anyone in this age talk about how hard this season is, because young people look at us and think, well, they're doing whatever they're doing, they're old, they're into their lives, they have everything, or maybe they don't have everything, but whatever, I don't care, I'm doing my thing. And then maybe grandparents, they're thinking, man, you don't have any problems. You're still young. We are the ones that are now aging and dealing with all this stuff. So you're kind of in this no man's land. And every season feels like that. Every season feels like this is the worst day of your life. Every season. Even though it might be the best day of your life. But our perspective is tainted by circumstances and feelings and emotions and our thoughts and all these things, right? Thoughts create feelings. Feelings create actions. Actions create results. And then these results can be good or bad. And so you have to be very mindful. Your circumstances are the same. But so anyway, so it's very ironic being now in this season. When I was in the second stage, I never even thought about my parents and their wellness. I just thought, I don't know, they're just my parents. They're still awesome and young and alive. And so, I don't know. But this is where all kinds of stuff happens. People end their lives. People get divorced. Couples break up. There's infidelity or anger or built up resentment. Or you go through financial issues. You lose your job, your financial crises, or your parents are aging. They're going through stuff. Your kids are maybe rebelling or destroying their lives. And so you have all that stress. So you're in this between a hard and between a rock and a hard place. You're not there to the other side yet, but you're no longer that young person. You now have failures and shame and anger and frustrations. You've been criticized. You've been told negative things. You're no longer the idealistic young person that you once were. You still have strength. You still want to accomplish things, but it doesn't look good. That's, according to the study, this is where the happiness is at the lowest, is in this third scene. That's the, as I said, no matter what culture, color, language, worldwide, where people are the least happy. The good news is that after this season, in the last stage, where you're basically just on your way out, but yeah, you're still alive and you're still kicking, it seems like that's the happiest stage. I think even happier from the study I was reading, even more than the initial stage of childhood and innocence. Because, I mean, back then, everything's beautiful, right? Disneyland and rainbows and sunshine and rainbows and unicorns, right? Not always. Now, how? Well, in that last scene, you have this man who's now older. He has a body that is now weaker and fragile, more fragile. He's definitely gray, older. But all there is around him is stillness, still waters. And in front of him, there is this beautiful cloud, this heavenly scene. And in front of him is the angel waiting for him, inviting him to come home. And that's the last stage of the last season. In many ways, being at that third season, that last one feels, I must say, a combination of good and bad. I think, man, I don't want to die. But in many ways, I can begin to taste in my mouth the joy of a life well lived, especially for those of us that are in Christ. You have good and bad, ugly and beautiful, loss and gain. You have graves and gardens, as we sang this morning. Shout out to my beautiful church, Christ Lutheran in Costa Mesa. Beep, beep. So there is this bittersweetness that comes. Your body is obviously aging, but we don't have grandkids yet, but your life begins to take a new different perspective, purpose. So it's this kind of balance. And again, as I said, every season has bittersweetness because I don't know why. That's how we are made. We're mortal beings. And when we die, if we are in Christ, we will be with Him forever and with our loved ones who also died in Christ. So I will one day, I 100% believe, I will see my father again, who's now with Jesus. I will see my grandmother, who's Jesus. I will see my uncle, Hector. So Jesus, I will see so many relatives who've died in Christ. And I will one day die, and so will my wife, God forbid, my mom, my people, right? People I love, my dog, beautiful dog Daisy. Shout out to Daisy. She died Will she be in heaven? I don't know. Maybe. It's not clear in the scriptures. But so now when you go from season to season, how do you navigate? How do you not die? How do you survive? Well, a few tips. First is you have to keep an eye on the ball. In other words, where is God in your life right now? It depends, right? As I said, every season you can kind of picture God somewhere. If you're a young person in your 20s and 30s, my guess is that you have God or spirituality or whatever you're into somewhere in the picture, but he's not present as he once was. He's no longer in the boat. He's not waiting for you. Maybe it's not quite demons and dragons, but he's kind of like, okay, well, if I need you kind of thing, we'll talk if I need you. I'm into some other things now, God. That was nice during my childhood and my parents and all that. But now I'm a grown man. I'm going to do my own thing. I don't need you. Or I need you in a different way that fits me. Because, again, I'm strong now. And now I'm going to reach through my own power and these oars and this boat. I'm going to reach my castle. And, yeah, I can see some things. But you know what? I kind of want to mess around a little bit. Well, down this path, what's wrong? Come on. Religion's all, you know, just a killjoy. And I'm going to try some weed and some drugs and some alcohol, some gambling, some sleeping around, some just getting away from all this church stuff and just being about me. I'm going to make some money, make my own bag, get my own job. I'm going to be very strategic and maybe a little even conniving and a little deceiving and a little of a liar, a little bit of a critic and a little bit of a mean person and a little evil, but not too much, just a little bit. You know, I'm a man now. I'm a woman, grown woman. I don't need my parents as much, and I don't need God. I'm gonna get my own life, and I'm gonna change my body, get on the internet, and take off my clothes, and I'm gonna do all these things I know I shouldn't do. But you know, hey, you only live once. All that stuff, right? Prodigal son stuff, black sheep stuff. That second season, and God is out here somewhere. I would just say make sure you don't lose sight of God and of those people who love you and who love Jesus. Make sure that you don't get so far away from God as a prodigal that you don't have a chance to repent and return. I don't need to repent. What's wrong? Religion is just the opium of the people. There's nothing wrong with what I'm doing. It's just all a bunch of religious junk. Well, you can look around, right, at people who have lived according to God's standards and those who haven't. Or those who don't, and you can look at their lives and judge for yourself. And don't mix religion with Jesus, or God with Jesus, with the church, or Christians even with Jesus. Judge Jesus by Jesus, and test him and see if he is good, and he is who he says he is. A forgiving, loving friend, closer than a brother. And then be smart as you strive to succeed. Stay away from evil. Be careful. Don't mess up your life with drugs or promiscuity or sleeping around or alcohol or driving too fast or lying, deceiving, or anger and shame and hate and violence and gangs and gambling and all the things this world has to offer. And if you do, which of course most of us do, then be thankful that you have praying parents and grandparents and a pastor who loves you, who's praying for you, so that you will hear the voice of God and return and repent. Repent. Repent is, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry, Father. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry, church. I'm sorry, Mom and Dad. I'm sorry. I've messed up. I don't know what the heck I'm doing. I need to come home. Please forgive me. Please, I'll do anything. If you're at midlife, then, man, don't give up. Persevere. This is the worst time. This is the least happy, content, the least perspective. Now, perspective comes as we seek God, of course, as always. God is the standard here, or the constant in every season. But every season has difficulties. You may struggle. You know, a lot of men end their lives in this season because I can relate to that. I've had moments where not anything crazy, but I thought, why am I still around again? I've done it all and I have nothing else to do, and I'm not going to be John Mayer. I'm not going to be Billy Graham or Luis Palau. So what's the point now? I'm not getting any younger, right? And so you really have to wrestle with that. Now, if you're a young grandparent in the Hispanic community, we tend to have kids really young, 16, 14, 17, 18. And so you may be a 40-year-old grandparent. And so that can give you a sense of purpose, but maybe for women, some, maybe for some men, but not usually. Men need their strength. And when a man's knees or back or some disease, kind of when those things hit a man and a woman, of course, women deal also with aging and beauty standards, and maybe also aging and being alone and maybe unloved, and or maybe you've failed at your first, second, third marriage, or maybe your kids are struggling. So, but you have to be very careful that you don't isolate, because those demons above can destroy your life, can destroy you. And God seems nowhere to be found. All you see is demons. As I said, in that third season, the angel of the Lord was there, but barely noticeable, just a dim light way behind him. And so you have to really be careful in that third season. I see a lot of men and women, because this is the season that I'm in, and I think everyone does this, right? You can see the same kind of stuff that you see in yourself and other people. I'm like, well, you're just as hopeless, worried, workaholic, overweight, unsuccessful, or maybe you have regrets. You're still working, but you're like, okay, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going to get the company car, the corner office. You're not as thin and strong as you once were. Your kids are getting older. You're like, okay, what's the point now? I have built a life. I've given you everything, my love. Now what do I do? I'm not gonna go golfing. I'm not gonna go retire. Plus, what am I gonna do? Travel? Or what if you can't? You're broke. You've made some bad financial decisions, or I don't know, bad. You just life. Maybe you've made some mistakes. I've made a bunch of mistakes, and they have consequences. And so don't live in those. I would say get close to God in every season. But you have to overcome your mind. The mind, your brain is telling you, oh, you should be a millionaire by now. You should have your own place and a husband and three kids, and you should be on your own if you're an adolescent. If you're at midlife, oh, you should be more successful. You should have a bigger, two homes, three homes. If you're aging, you should have no regrets. You should have worked out or eaten better, or you should have had that surgery or gone to the doctor, or you shouldn't have been so afraid. Should have taken more. All these should haves or so regrets. I remember talking to a mentor of mine, and he shared with me one of his journal entries. He was now, at the time, he was in his late 70s, almost 80, and he showed me, it said, my whole life has been an utter disappointment. An utter disappointment. And this is a man who I admire, and a leader and great friend and mentor. So maybe that's where you're at. You're dealing with that. You've dealt with so much illness. Your wife is struggling with stuff, and you're dealing with this and that. You have to look to God. Every season, if you're a young man or woman, teen or child, as I said, it's not all rainbows and sunshine or sunsets or sunrises, whatever. Turn to Jesus. That's why it's beautiful. I'm so thankful that I went to a Christian school. I went to mostly public schools, and I thank God for both. But I'm glad that I went to a private Christian elementary school and middle school and high school until I came here to the States. When I went to, and actually, I went to a private Christian pre-elementary, I guess preschool, elementary, and high school, at least the first year. And then I came here and I was in eighth grade, which was like middle school and whatever. I love both, public and private. But yeah, I thank God for my our daughter. One of our daughters went to a private Christian college for a year. That was beautiful. And I work now at a Christian church, of course, but also a Christian school. And I'm so glad for that education. It's expensive. It's definitely people that are more well-to-do. And I think that's a tragedy that you can't be an average Joe and send your kids to private school, Christian school, Catholic or whatever, it may be Christian. So I think you have to have that foundation. Now, you don't have to have it in school. You can have it at home. And so I want to recommend, if you are a young person, that you become that Christian school to your kids. If you can't afford a private $10,000 a year, you know, school, or $20,000, whatever it is, that you yourself become that and not need a church or a school. I mean, it's good that you have those things, obviously, but that you yourself are the kind of father that is a teacher of the Word of God. Now, I know you can't be that because you have to work. You have 2-3 jobs. You work nights. You work weekends. So I understand as a mom, the same thing. But that you have daily devotions, that you pray, that you read the Bible to your kids every day. Not just because of the importance of reading and of listening and of being off the screen, but the beauty of hearing these great biblical stories, David and Goliath and Noah's Ark and the birth of Jesus, all these beautiful stories and truths. So if you are a young adult, don't get too far from God. Don't fake it. Be honest. I met so many young people in this one season at church that were just faking it for most of the time. The minute that they could leave, they went back to their old ways of just drinking and partying and cars and girls and watches and all this fake stuff on Instagram. Smoking and drinking and weed and drugs and gambling and you name it. Fronting, as they call it, right? Be sure, be careful that you don't get too far from God in your party stage, in your hot girl summer. Don't have a hot girl summer. Stay home. I did. Hot boy summer. I wasn't hot or wasn't in the summer. But the only good thing about having gone through a season like that, which I wish I hadn't, is learning what not to do, is waking up to God's grace. Right? I was talking to a friend. He was saying the same thing. He's like, man, at 12 and 13, his father was sharing porn with him and drinking tequila shots with his 10-year-old, 11-year-old son. And he says, the only good thing about that was learning how good God is, that he kept me from worse, from being an alcoholic or some sex addict or you name it, just ruining my life at 16. So that's the only good thing about being on your own and being free in your youth, is learning what not to do. At midlife, just hang on. It is a storm. You are in the eye of the storm. You are in the most difficult season. It'll pass. It will get better. This too shall pass. Every season, this too shall pass. And every season is better than the next one, you could say. You can also say that every season is better than the last one. I don't know. I don't want to be in ninth grade right now or ever and be in high school. And I don't want to do that. Do I want to be 35 again? Maybe for a week. I think every season is better than the last, and every season is maybe worse than the next. I don't know. It's all a matter of perspective and Jesus and having God near you, having him helping you. But these things I'm telling you, I think they help us understand where you're at and what are temptations, what are opportunities, what are the dangers, what are the problems, what are the things you're facing. And to be honest, always, that's why I talk to you. I have one person watching, nobody watches me, but I don't care because I am just telling you what the truth is in light of God and the world. I'm not some angel flying with wings, and I'm not some guy in the streets that is stealing. I could be either easily, but, and so can all of us, but I hope to be a mentor to young and old, black and white, English and Espanol, and Portuguese and Mandarin. One of the things that maybe I'll wrap up with is the beauty of contentment. And I think contentment comes with age. It's not something that you really even want at childhood or adolescence. I think it, or at midlife, but I think it does begin to hit about, midlife and beyond. Contentment. So I used to be this hot shot, at least I thought, back in my 30s and 40s even. Big crowds. I had a staff around me, people serving next to me, and I was in the middle of it all. And then I went through a bunch of failures, just failure to failure to failure, like three or four or five, back to back to back to back to back to back. Gain weight and not feeling as youthful and all the usual stuff. The last 10 years, maybe even longer. And then now, these last couple of years, it's been the most simple, the mosquito times of my life. Nobody knows who I am. I'm not doing anything huge or noticeable by anybody. Nobody knows me except the people way back in my youth. No one will ever know me except for my community, my close friends, of course. And it's not that that's good or bad. The point is that now that matters to me. I can value that. Whereas before, as an Enneagram 3, if you're into personality types, all I wanted was a castle in 2 and 3 and 4 and 5. I wanted 10. I wanted to build castles in Gaza, to quote that horrible man. That's been me. At one point, I had 3 homes, and I felt like $1 million. I'm like, I am a mogul. And then I lost everything except for a few things. Not everything, but... And God has been faithful, of course. My wife and I, we're not on the streets. We're both professionals and blah, blah, blah. But it's the grace of God. But now, for example, this morning I hang out with 2 teenagers doing music. And I loved every second. I was teaching them parts, music, singing stuff. Friday night, I hung out with 50 third graders. And I loved every minute of it. It's talent show night at my church. And I was a director. I wasn't on stage except for like the welcome, nothing else. And it wasn't even perfect, but I felt so happy because I didn't care. Today after church, I had one of the leaders say to me, I love that you have young people next to you, because otherwise those young people, these are the teenagers I was talking about, usually would have left by now. They're now in 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th grade. And I felt so happy. You know, years ago, I would have been like, man, I wish I had Mariah Carey up there and Whitney Houston and John Mayer up there. By the way, I do have those people singing with me because it's just amazing what God has done. But I wouldn't have appreciated all the little things because I was getting that castle. I'm going to get that bag, whatever that may look like. Or, oh, I'm so depressed. Oh, this is so terrible. I can't believe I've fallen so low. I've been through all that. Now I'm beginning to enter the season of contentment. I'm not there yet. Not that I have accomplished it. Not that I have gained it. Not that I have achieved, like Paul would say. Not that I have attained this thing, but forgetting what lies behind, setting my eyes on the prize, not only of Jesus, who's continuing to be my love and my Savior and my King, but contentment in impact, in what's in front of me, what's here right now. I may never weigh 180 pounds again like I did in my 40s. I may never lift the weights or squat the weights that I did in my late 40s even. I may never run another 10K like I did in my late 40s, mid-40s. But I have my treadmill here, which I was just using a couple of weeks ago, and I hurt my foot. That's called getting old. It's just getting better. It's been like a week and a half, just beginning to get better. But I can enjoy those third graders I can enjoy those teenagers today who I love so much. I really love them. It's just so weird. It's not weird because I love kids. I wanted to be a pediatrician when I was like 6 years old. I've always loved being a doctor, a healer to young people. I've always loved it because that's when God healed me and touched my life in my youth, in my teenage and college years. And I'll close with this. So on Saturday, so Friday we had the talent show. Today we had church. It was a busy week, my goodness, every night. But on Friday, Saturday was really the hardest and the best. It was a funeral of a young 34-year-old father of a little second grader who goes to our school. And I had the privilege to sing three songs at their funeral. It was a packed house. I sang Goodness of God and the Goodness of God. I sang that Hallelujah song by something Owen, Jack Cohen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And then I sang, this is amazing, Graves into Gardens. This couple and little boy used to come to chapel every Wednesday because he was at the school, and I lead worship every Wednesday and on Sundays because I lead worship every Sunday. And so they were just there loving that song, Graves into Gardens. And at this funeral of this young man who was out running and died of a heart attack, we sang Graves into Gardens. From that worship experience every Sunday, they heard this song. It ministered to them through the power of the Holy Spirit, through our service, faithful servants that we are, getting up there every week, no matter how tired or mics or lights or people or whatever, right? And at their lowest hour, this couple, this mom and her little boy now, without their father, literally the ashes of their father was on the front of the stage. My goodness. They wanted that song sung, and we worshiped together. Come on, somebody. You think that's significant? You think that's ministry? You think that that's less than having a church of 10,000 or having a famous podcast or playing guitar like John Mayer or singing like Jose Jose? I mean, come on, somebody. It's not that those things haven't happened in my life. It's just that now I can see them. I can see clearly now. Weight is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. It's gonna be a bright, bright, bright. It's shiny, sunshiny day. You know, tomorrow, I don't know, I'll probably get criticized for a couple things. And this week, I'm sure someone will yell at me and I'll feel this and that and the other. And you know what? It's all good, man. I'm going to be humble and grow and learn and just thankful for the opportunity to influence these kids and these families. Are there things I still long for? Of course. But you know what? Not in the same way. Not in that ambition driven, if I don't accomplish this, I'm no one kind of way of before. And that's, I think, what comes with age and experience and a lot of failure and pain. It's what we call wisdom and maturity, right? Wisdom, wisdom, wisdom is old knowledge, basically. It's what that is with God. So I hope that that helps you. If you would like my coaching, I'm available. One-on-one coaching. You can just drop me a message, email me, text me, DM me on Instagram, David Trigg, triggerdavidtrigg.com. Text me if you know my number. Message me on Facebook or LinkedIn, wherever you know how to get a hold of me. I'd love to coach you or your family member, your wife, daughter, son, nephew, cousin, primo, hermano, amigo, whoever it may be, in Jesus' name. Thanks for being here. I did just write a song called He Cares For You. So listen for that on all my platforms and play it everywhere. Thank you for being here. I'll see you next time. Adios.